Hello and welcome to The Hearts Review with me, Ross McLeod and Gordon Senior. Joining us this week is David to talk about the draw with Hibs, the win over Celtic, chat a little bit about refereeing decisions within that game, and we preview Morton in the Scottish Cup and Ross County in the Premiership. How are we doing this week then, guys?
Not bad at all, Ross. Not bad. How are you?
Very well. Very well.
In the virtual world. We're back to virtuals now.
It seems very weird to be doing this on Zoom for the first time in about a year. So you'll probably notice a very different sound quality to usual. But bear with us. You know, we are in the modern world as ever. Gordon, a week where we drew 1-1 against Hibs and 1-2-0 against Celtic. We'll start by talking about the 1-1 draw with Hibs in the derby. First, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, on the last podcast, Ross, I boldly predicted 4 points and, needless to say, right again. However, disappointed with the Hibs result, if I'm being brutally honest. I fancied the 3 points to come in that game. And look, I didn't think we were up to par, if we're being brutally honest. I thought Hibs deserved to win the game, and it's can maybe count on one hand the amount of times I've seen derbies at Tynecastle where I've come along going, we were lucky there. But no, we were poor, and I felt we were passive at times, particularly in the first half. Allowed Hibs to sort of stretch us, which shouldn't really be happening at home. But I thought we struggled to get a hold of the ball. And derbies can sort of, I mean, look, you've seen the one at Easter Road where it just became a sort of long ball game and no one really got their foot on the ball and started playing football. And to be fair to kind of Hibs, I felt that they obviously came with a plan how to counter that. And I feel that we got sucked into sort of playing the game they wanted to play. We set up differently, went with a back four. He was obviously had a plan that they wanted to be more expansive, but I just felt that the balance wasn't really right. I felt that, apart from Neuenhoff, I thought the midfield was pretty much non-existent, really. And Hibs were able to kind of just play their game, really, which wasn't pretty, to be honest, but they were certainly effective and they created chances and they were pressing us high up the park, and I felt that any time that we tried to get out, we just couldn't. The ball wasn't sticking at our end of the park. And when you play these sort of teams, you've got to get your foot on the ball. And particularly, you know, I know it's difficult because the sort of game it is, the atmosphere, everything that goes around it, but you've got experienced players out there, good players. And I just felt that none of them were sort of they were almost playing the occasion rather than the game, and they got sucked into Hibs' games, and it was a poor performance. But look, you know, they didn't lose the game. I suppose that's one thing we'll give them. I know the Hibbies are harping on about how they feel they were robbed, but for me, it was a penalty. Certainly the Forest one, anyway. Although I think, funny, at the time, I thought that when he went to VAR, he must have reviewed the Forest one, and then, because you've seen him, you know, he sort of, he made a gesture as if they were like cancelling something. But I think what he was doing was he was saying, no, I'm sticking with my original decision, which was obviously the penalty they gave on Vargas. So, interesting, but look, there is contact in the box, regardless of how theatrically Vargas maybe went down. Still a penalty for me. And then you go into halftime 1-1, you think, right, second half, let's go. And yeah, that just wasn't kind of enough quality, really, in the final third from Hearts. And I think that's the thing that let us down. I feel decision-making at times could have been better. I think Forrest done okay. I think Vargas done okay. But again, you know, probably his quality, particularly in the second half, a couple of times where he got in behind and you thought, right, stick it in the net, and he's finishing sort of let him down a little bit. Shanklin wasn't really able to get into the game. He was sort of well marshalled. And but yeah, like I say, it's one of them, isn't it? Derby game. I think Hibs, obviously, they haven't won a derby this season, but they'll have took confidence from coming back at Tynecastle early on in the season. And then obviously we nicked the game at Easter Road. So, yeah, but more the man of the performance that sort of disappointed me that more than anything else. You know, we've seen millions of draws between these two over the years. So I suppose it wasn't really that unpredictable. But I just expected more from Hearts. You know, I think if it was more of a performance like maybe the first one was at Tynecastle where they've stole a draw, then you walk away. Obviously, you're disappointed that you didn't win the game, but you think, well, you know, we've done everything bar sort of win the game. On this occasion, we were very fortunate, I think, to come away. And that's not to say that Hibs were dominant and they absolutely battered us because they didn't. They just created the better chances, I felt. And if anything, you know, they'll be extremely disappointed that they didn't win the game. But look, it is what it is. Hopefully it's the last time we have to play them this season, but I have a feeling that we'll probably end up having to go Easter Road again.
Dave, do you share that view? What did you think about the penalty yourself?
Well, if it happens in the centre circle, it's a free kick. So by the letter of the law, it's a penalty. I don't get this idea that a penalty has to be more of a foul than if it were outside the box. At the end of the day, there's nothing in the rules that say that. If a foul occurs in the box, it's a penalty. You can have your views on whether it's soft or not, or whether Vargas goes down like a sack of tatties. Of course he does, but I don't think it takes away from the fact that he knocks the ball past Fish. Fish makes contact hip on hip. He goes down, well within his rights to go down. And for me, I said at the time, yes, it's soft, but it's a penalty. It's definitely a foul. And if people say, aye, it's a foul, but it's not enough to be a penalty, well, that's a contradiction. It's either a foul, which is a penalty, or it's not a foul and it's a dive. It's not a dive. There's definitely contact. So, yeah, penalty. And overall, I think, yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, the second half, first half, it overall was really poor. I thought Hibs dictated the game. We allowed their midfield to kind of press us. Didn't feel like there was really much of the Hearts midfield at all. It felt like whenever Hibs had the ball, they were going forward, we were found wanting, which is unlike Hearts, especially when you compare it back to the first game where in the first half we pretty much bossed it. So that was disappointing. I thought the second half was a little bit more even. Hearts kind of played almost a little bit on the counter a little bit more, had a couple of more chances when Forrest and Vargas got pushing higher up. But again, I don't think we created anything really clear cut. So in that respect, I think it was a little bit more even. But yeah, I would have said that on the face of it, had probably deserved the win. But I'm just glad we kind of got out of there without defeat. I think it could have been really easy to fold, especially after the really poor performance at Ibrox a few days before. But we managed to kind of steady it as soon as we had scored, settled the game down. We got into it a little bit more at the end of the first half. And the way we kind of got the penalty, which I thought was what we should have been doing more, was Forrest got the ball and just drove 30 yards with it and got himself into the box. Sometimes you just need someone just to grab the game and just go, Ken Moore, I'm just going to take a little bit of responsibility here. Which I think some players maybe should have just done a little bit more, especially some of the more senior players, because I felt we just let Hibs dictate the game, which is not what should be happening at Tynecastle. But yeah, I mean, like Gordon says, I hope it's the last derby. It definitely won't be. We'll probably end up drawing in the fucking cup if we get through again, and they'll probably beat Rangers, and that'll be that. And they'll probably finish top six. So yeah, we'll probably end up having two more derbies. But yeah, I was just happy not to get beat out on the reflection of how bad we were, to be honest. And then obviously, yeah, we probably said 4 points out of the two. I don't think we expected them to come the way they did. But listen, it's another derby unbeaten. I don't know what that takes it to now, 3-4-3. Oh, I forgot we lost the one last season. They've only won 1-8 or whatever. But yeah, disappointing. But I think it's one of those where I was just kind of glad just to get out of the stadium to us. It didn't really feel like Derby Day in general. I really didn't get up for it at all. I don't know if that's just because we're so far ahead that it didn't really feel like there was much on it. I mean, there obviously is. It's a derby, but it just didn't feel like one. So maybe that's why I wasn't, you know, so irate about how poor we were. But yeah, listen, it's happened now. We got a point. We moved on. And of course, brighter times are shortly ahead.
They were indeed, Dave. A 2-0 win against Celtic on Sunday. Gordon, were you expecting that type of performance going into the game? I spoke to you beforehand. You didn't look. You were sort of sitting there going, "Oh, if we lose this one or we don't perform in this one, I'm not going back to a game against the Old Firm at Tynecastle. I'm done with them." You know, they sort of did change your perception with that performance, didn't they?
Oh, that doesn't sound like something I would say.
Oh no, you did say that.
That's chapter one in the Goxie losing the heed mantra. Yeah. I'll be back until you're back the next time.
Can't deny that. Yeah, it's a funny old game actually, because I had a feeling in my waters going into it really that we would get a result on Sunday. I don't know why. I think sometimes you generally just feel there's something in the air. And I watched Celtic last week against Motherwell and I thought they were fucking shocking. I really did. I mean, the first half, they were terrible. As poor as I've probably ever watched, like, ever seen a Celtic team. Like, generally. And you know, we know the gulf in quality and the, you know, the financial kind of aspect that they have, but they're so far away from what they were last season. I mean, it's incredible, the drop-off. Just the way they play, how quickly they move the ball, the way they press you. It's complete night and day between Ange's Celtic team to Rodgers' Celtic team. So I thought that that would actually suit us, to be honest with you, because any time, sort of, certainly at Tynecastle, I think when teams are a lot more open, like the first Celtic game, we were just, you know, it was like watching Nielsen's Hearts that day. It was pish poor, goal inside 3 minutes, you know, the usual pish. But I think Hearts were always going to be a different animal this time round. And I felt if we started the game well, we had a really good chance of getting a result. And to be fair, we did. I thought the first kind of 5-10 minutes, I thought we looked good. We created a kind of couple of chances. I mean, Cochran has a great chance. He should really be at least hitting the target anyway, forcing Hart into a save, but completely mishits it. And then they get a fucking penalty out of nothing. I mean, it's never a penalty. Obviously, at this point, Celtic had got their foot on the ball. They're starting to play around a bit, but I'm still not overly worried. I'm not sitting there going, you know, they're cutting us open. But Cochran caught napping, which, to be fair, you know, a lot of people love Alex Cochran. And I do like him as a player, don't get me wrong, but defensively he is very naive and he's actually quite poor, to be honest with you, for a fullback. People talk about him going down to England. Not for me, I don't think. I think that this is probably his level. I think going forward he has really good qualities and he gives you a lot, but I just feel defensively against better sides he gets caught out quite a lot. And it was almost a carbon copy of last season against them, really. Where, you know, sort of Maeda gets behind them. Of course, it's not Maeda this time, it's Yang. But it's not a penalty. I mean, really, VAR should be at least telling, you know, the referee to go over and have a look at that. And any competent referee would go, well that's not a penalty. The contact was initiated by the forward. It's a coming together. It's not a foul. But credit to Xander Clark. You know, it's a really brave save. I think he's had a really good season, Xander Clark, and you know, considering the fact the pressure that's and the clamour for Craig Gordon to get his place back right away, for him to sort of keep the sticks, and almost feels that every time we concede a goal, you know, people point fingers at Xander Clark and say, "Oh, he's to fault." But I think he's had a very good season, and it's a really really good save, and. That sort of, you could feel it sort of momentum shift right back into Hearts' camp after that. You know, obviously I've spoken to Celtic fans since then and they're talking about the red card changed the game. I don't think so. I think generally the penalty miss was probably what changed the game. I think you felt the momentum kind of switch right there. The belief sort of went straight into the Hearts players and it's just timing really. You know, for me it's a red card. It's reckless and dangerous and You regardless if you make contact with Cochran's face or not, you know, you can't show your studs that high in a player's face. And by the letter of the law, it's a red card. And, you know, Brendan Rodgers and Celtic and Neil Lennon and whoever, what other Celtic cheerleader want to sit and harp on about how there's some conspiracy against them. But look, Joe, I think it was St Mirren they were playing not that long ago and a player got sent off for a similar kind of challenge on Joe Hart. And, you know, you didn't give them cry conspiracy that day, so well, they can have their cake and eat it at the end of the day. It is what it is, but it was a red card. And then I thought Hearts dealt with the game well. It would have been easy to go gung-ho, and you know, I think previous Hearts teams, maybe under the previous manager, would probably have actually crumbled in a situation like that. I think it's a mentality thing. You know, they were patient, they were brave, and at the end of the day they managed to win the game. I think it would have been easy to just switch the formation right away, and because Celtic still have very dangerous players who can hurt you, and you know, wounded animals are the most dangerous. And I think even with 10 men, I mean, you've seen the, I mean, it was miles offside, obviously, but if I had kind of held his either or whatever his name is, held his line, then you know, they could have been in there, and they could have been 1-0 up, and that makes it even more difficult. But I think we get the goal at the right time. Probably a harsh penalty, to be honest. I mean, I think if it's given against you, you're disappointed. But that is the rule, ultimately. You know, I mean, people say there needs to be clarity on the handball rule. I guess fairly clear. If it hits anything under the sleeve, it's a penalty. Whether you think that's right or wrong, I don't know. But look, his arm was out, and there was contact with the ball, and that's it. You know, no one's seen it, obviously, apart from you know, Cammy. I think he was the only one that spotted it next to us. Ross, he's seen an arm. But apart from that, generally, I didn't see it. And you know, it's a cool penalty from George Grant. And then you think if we had just got that second goal, and disappointing, really, because I think in a situation like that, I know that it's probably actually good defending from Celtic's line, but for me, it's when you've got an opportunity with so many men over. Forrest has got to release the ball quicker, I think, and Shank should. I mean, he could probably stand literally and hold his line, but I get it's difficult when you're up against experienced defenders like that, and how minimum the sort of the lines are. But situations like that, I think you've got to take, and you hope that they don't come and bite you in the arse. But thankfully it didn't. You know, we scored a really good second goal in the second half. I felt we started the right way. The tempo was good. We didn't go into the second half nervous or looking to, you know, put 10 men behind the ball and just try and see the 1-0 out. We just kept doing what we were doing, playing football. Celtic, I think, started to tire a little bit. They created a couple of sort of half chances. You know, Clark's made a good save from Kyogo after he came on. He was buzzing about. But I don't think at any point did you feel that we were going to surrender this lead. I felt that Hearts stood up to everything kind of Celtic were going to throw at them. Obviously, the second goal helps. Shankland's a wonderful finish. And I felt after that we were pretty comfortable and in control. And it was probably as cosy as you'll get against one of the old firm, I think, at home. And you've got to give credit to the manager for that. As I said, the way he set up his team and the way that he managed the game and the players managed the game, it shows you, I think, how far they've actually come in the last 12 months. Well, maybe not even the last 12 months, probably the last 3 or 4 months, actually. You know, I think they're starting to mature and starting to believe in what they're doing. It's maybe not always pretty, but you can certainly see that they actually, I think, go into games and know what it is they need to do. And particularly games against Celtic and Rangers, you know, you've got to have that discipline. And certainly, I think we've seen that on Sunday.
Dave, we'll go back and chat a little bit about the game from your perspective as well. Do you think the refs got everything right during that game? You know, was the first penalty, the Celtic penalty, a penalty, do you think?
No, it isn't. We've seen Cochran fall asleep in big games before and give away penalties or get sent off or whatever, but generally, he can't do anything there. He's not even left a lazy leg in. He's just running. The boy has just clearly seen him there, and he's gone, well, if I just slow down, if I leave out my own leg, I'll get clattered because I've stopped, and I'll go down and I'll get a penalty. It's a really cowardly decision for the referee to make, because he's that side where all he sees is leg on leg, and he goes, well, that must be a foul, and it's a terrible decision from VAR to look at that, considering the fact that we can't even use budget VAR as an excuse, because it was a Sky broadcast game. So there's 11 cameras there, including 2 slow-mos, to see that, and they've still looked at all of them and gone, nah, correct decision. I thought the referee had a very poor game overall, kind of lost control, I thought, at points. The red card, as we mentioned, is a red card. The thing that annoys me about the red card, hearing all the your so-called pundits and analysts back and whatever, they have this fixation over malice. And going, he's no malice there. He's not meant to kick him. So what? When has that ever been a threshold for a red card? When has malice ever been a threshold? Ah, oh, he's not a dirty player. I couldn't give a fuck if he's not a dirty player. If he's kicked someone in the heat, it's a red card. It's
my mind boggles, and it really is one of the one things that I really can't understand is when people say there's no malice, there's no intent for him to kick someone. Who, what, on what right mind in this day do people go out and intend to kick someone in the head? If you do that, you should be sent off before the fucking game starts. It's madness. Absolute madness. It's the one thing that really, really frustrated me, like listening to back. And it's not even just them. It's fucking Neil McCann and everyone saying, oh, you know, he's just up there to touch the ball. It's like someone going in two-footed. He's just got to try to win the ball. Yeah, so what? Fricker. So that's the one thing he did get right. And even then, he didn't get it right. He had to rely on Brother Beaton to give him the red card, pointing him to the screen. So there's another one. He bottled it on the field of play, giving a booking. So, yeah, I thought the referee had a poor game overall. But thankfully, it wasn't, you know, in vain for the result. It's maybe one of the worst penalties I've seen from Ida. I think he duffs it. Genuinely, I think he tries to lift it and absolutely makes a tit of it. But credit to Clark, it's easy when a ball goes down the middle to choose a side. I think he kind of knew that this boy probably wasn't up to much, just held his nerve. And it's a decent save. I was worried he was off his line, to be honest, because I thought, yeah, that really would sum it up. And that, what, getting a second penalty for encroachment or off the line or whatever. But, I mean, it was a tremendous performance. And like Gordon said, I actually was never, even before the penalty, I didn't think Celtic looked up to much. They'd really missed McGregor. I mean, they just seemed like whenever the ball was in the middle of the park, there wasn't really anyone controlling the play on their side, really keeping the ball and playing the smart pass. It just felt like they didn't really have a lot of cohesion, Celtic, in that first 10 minutes. And then, of course, they shoot themselves in the foot by getting a man sent off. And then, like Gordon says, we did the right things. We didn't rush it. We didn't panic, thinking, oh, we've got to make this count. We created chances. We kept the ball. We moved Celtic about. And then when the gap was there, we tried to make the right pass. And, yeah, I thought, overall, to a man, they were excellent. And it's the kind of result, it's the kind of result and performance we've been waiting for a while against the Old Firm at home. There's been too many times where we've not been up to the levels that we should be against the Old Firm. And it's games that it should be really easy to get up for, and there should never be a hiding place. And the fans, like they were, if you put in a performance, you'll get a response from Tynecastle. And that's exactly what there was. It was a great atmosphere. I thought as soon as the red card went, there was a sense of expectation. Even before then, I thought we got right into it. We pressed high. We forced them to play long balls. We forced them into putting balls out of play and making mistakes. So, again, it's the thing you want to see from a Hearts team at Tynecastle against the Old Firm is to just give it a go. Too many times in years gone by, we've been found wanting and playing safe and sitting with, you know, a low block of eight folk waiting for something magical to happen from one player. We were a good team. We need to believe in that more. I mean, two wins in a row against Celtic, first time in, what is it, 16 years that's happened? So, yeah, I mean, it was to a man, they were excellent. And you know, you just hope that, I mean, to me, I think that's now third done. But you just hope that those kind of results give you more confidence when you do play the Old Firm. And there is that belief, and there is that kind of going in expecting to put in a performance and get a result against the top two. And it's one thing that Nasey always harps on about is that under the previous regime, we weren't good enough doing that. And now that this Hearts team needs to believe, there's this expectation from fans and the hierarchy alike that you compete. And if we get through in the cup and you go to Hampden and you play the Old Firm, you have to go in with the same mentality. And I tell you what, I don't think this team would be fearing playing Celtic if they face them at Hampden. And rightly so. So we'll have to wait and see. Of course, we need to get through Morton first. But yeah, it was a brilliant result and a huge result. Not in terms of the league position, but I just think in terms of what that can give you as a team going forward. It was brilliant.
And obviously praise for Stephen Naismith and how he set up the team, Gordon, as well. I know you've got a picture of Robbie Nielsen currently up on your Zoom.
Fudel.
Yeah, I'm out. Sorry, what did you say? What was the question there?
Praise for the way the manager set up the team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I said it would be extremely easy for us to go gung-ho and change the shape right away and go, right, you know, I need to put an extra man in midfield or an extra man up front and go to a back four and just change it completely. But Look, I thought that, we're patient. I think you need to be patient in these sort of games. You know, you're playing against good players and you can't give them an inch regardless if they've got 10 men or not. And, you know, Naismith even said that after the game. He says, look, you know, it almost balanced out a little bit because, you know, obviously they've got a tremendous amount of quality, but I think them going down to 10 men, it balances it out. Now, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that. I think if Hearts play as well as they possibly could, even against 11 men there at Tynecastle, I think they still have a really good chance of winning the game. But obviously Celtic are going to, you know, be able to kind of press you up higher. There's maybe more of a belief in them. But and I think the fact that it's an offensive player for Celtic that's getting sent off, it makes it difficult on the rest of the players. And as David mentioned, no Callum McGregor in there. I think guys like O'Reilly and stuff like that, who are normally given like a free rein, can be very dangerous on his day. I think when he's got to do maybe extra things like track back and make tackles, I think that's when you might not see the best of him. They obviously miss what was his name? The other Japanese boy. Hatai, yeah. He's a very good player as well. So I think when you catch Celtic on a day where, you know, they're missing their obvious best players, then you've got to take advantage of that. And look, we've been waiting on a win against Celtic for a long time at home. Well, both sides of the Old Firm, really. It should happen at least once a season, in my opinion. I think when you're so far ahead in third, you've got to test yourself about how you perform against the top two. And look, the Ibrox game aside and Hampden, we've been pretty competitive in every game. And apart from that Celtic game at home, actually. So, all right. And half of the games we've been competitive in. So, I suppose it's slightly better than the previous regime's record. So, look, we're getting there. Hopefully next season.
You
can't
bring yourself to say his name, can you?
the previous manager. I don't want to give him the airtime, but you know the guy winds me up still. So we're now at a stage where I think hopefully next season, every game we play against the Old Firm, we can be competitive in home and away. And it's about belief. Luke, is about belief, and we know Celtic and Rangers are good sides. Luke, there's Rangers going away and getting a draw at Benfica, who were in the Champions League this season. So it shows you the level of competition you're playing against, but we have good players and I've always maintained that. I just think sometimes they've let themselves down with stupid mistakes and sometimes just I think you could accuse them at times of throwing in the towel, actually, and the way they've just rolled over in games against the Old Firm. Hopefully that's now changing. I think that has come from the manager, and I think you see that will definitely be the case. You know, he obviously responded by making changes from the Rangers game. And credit to him, actually. He's not come out and he didn't publicly criticise his team, but I think in the dressing room he would have gave them one. I believe Hearts played a little bit better in the second half against Rangers. Wouldn't know, we're long gone. But that's all right doing that when you're 3-4-0 down. You know, there's no point. Your real test of character comes in games like Sunday, where you're playing against, you know, Celtic, who have a lot of quality, are going for the league title, but you've been given an opportunity because they're down to 10 men. How do you then go and respond and go and take that? And fair play to Hearts, they did. They went and won the game. And I think the fact where obviously Kilmarnock getting a draw on St Mirren, getting that late win, and the gap was cut to 10. I still think 10's a pretty big gap. And I just see no way that we would have chucked it, even if we hadn't won the Celtic game. But I think what that does is it just puts any doubt to bed that suddenly Hearts were going to collapse. I think when you're seeing off Celtic, I think now when you look at Hearts' running, especially from now until the split, is very favourable, and you would expect us to pretty much take care of, maybe not win every game, but certainly you'd be surprised if they lost any of them. So now, look, they've got, I think, they can relax in the knowledge that they know that they're going to finish third. I think the big things now, can they go on and grab the opportunity and win the cup? And last season they went out in the quarterfinals with a whimper against Celtic. like I say, they've not done particularly well against Rangers this season. They let themselves down in that kind of semi-final. So get yourself back to Hampden, see whoever we face, and you've now got an opportunity between now and the end of the season to try and create some history for themselves. So it'll be interesting to see. If we can keep everybody fit, who knows? But I definitely think you've got to give credit to the manager, the way they kind of they won the game.
Obviously, Greenock Morton in the Scottish Cup next to come, Gordon. Do you think it's a tricky tie ahead at Capello?
Oh, listen, it's a cup game. You never know how these things might turn out, but realistically, it shouldn't be. I think the two games that we've played against Championship opposition this season, we've wiped the floor with both of them, to be honest with you. And I think, you know, we keep harping on about how you know, the great cup shocks, and this could be a banana skin, and they said that about Partick at home, and then they said that about Airdrie. And to be honest with you, I thought Hearts, you know, navigated both quite simply, to be fair. And I would expect us to do the same against Morton. Obviously, difficult pitch, which might maybe play a part. But look, I think we've got more than enough quality to take care of Greenock Morton. And it shouldn't be a tricky night, but it's Hearts, so you never know. But look, the carrot of Hampden is there for them. It should be a really good atmosphere. And I would expect Hearts to kind of stand up to this sort of game. And if they approach it the same way they did against Airdrie, then I see it being a pretty simple night for them. But it's cup football, anything could happen. You know, someone could get sent off, and you know, they could go 1-0 up for a fluke goal. You never know. So that's why when you go into these games, you've got to guard against complacency. And but if they're at it and they approach it like the Airdrie game, then it should be okay. But yeah, it should be a tasty one, I think. I've never been to Morton, so I'm quite looking forward to it. It was the draw that we all wanted, so I'm pleased actually with that respect. But look, great opportunity to go there and get ourselves into the semi-final, and that's the most important thing, and I would fancy us to do that.
Do you share that optimism, Dave, going to Capello on a Monday night? What do you make of it being a Monday night as well? I mean, not an ideal day for a cup quarter final, is it?
No, fuming. Cheers to the Beeb for that shit pick. Ruined a potentially great day out by the fact that we've got rush hour traffic on a Monday after finishing work and having work the next day. So, yeah, great for the fans, that. I don't really particularly enjoy these types of fixtures on paper. they certainly strike me with fear just because of the potential of the upset. But I think you've got to look at it as that I don't think this Hearts team is, touch wood, and built in that kind of way of, you know, playing the occasion. I think they do play the game when it comes to these type of fixtures. I mean, I thought Airdrie could have been a tough one because they were on good form, they play good football, but, you know, we pretty much dispatched them after 20-odd minutes. So, hoping for something similar. I think the pitch is going to be pretty boggy and pretty ugly, especially when I remember watching the Motherwell game in the Cup. That was pretty bad. They certainly wasn't conducive to good football. But I don't think that should really bother Hearts. I think, you know, I actually read Nasey today in the paper kind of speaking about it's a game where we're going to have to be on top of second balls. We're going to have to make sure that we're it's going to be a physical battle. We're not going to be able to play free-flowing football. We're not going to be able to pick those type of passes that we can, you know, that some of these players have the quality to do. So, yeah, we're going to have to adjust the way we play, albeit I don't think we play, you know, tiki-taka, or, you know, Spencer's favourite type of phrase for any, you know, one-two-touch pass or whatever. But, yeah, listen, I think, as we all know, Hearts should be, you know, the easiest tie the round. On paper, albeit it would have been easier if we were at home, but yeah, it should be a game that we should be going in with full confidence and looking for a positive result. And as Gordon mentioned, you know, we've been to Hampden quite a bit recently in the Cup, and obviously we fell at this hurdle this time last year against Celtic at home when we went out without a fight, and the opportunity to get to Hampden with an easy fixture and have the chance to play, you know, potentially a non-Old Firm team, because, you know, you're going to have one of Aberdeen or Kilmarnock in there as well. You'd have to expect that Celtic and Rangers win their respective fixtures. So, Yeah, it's going to be a tasty tie. I certainly think it will be all blood and thunders. Morton will make it difficult. They'll make it bitty. They'll want to get stop the game from any sort of flow in there. But Hearts are a good team. And that shouldn't stop them going there and getting into the semi-finals. And of course, we all want, selfishly, another trip to Hampden. So, yeah, listen, I'm not going to enjoy it. It's going to be raining, let's be honest. That'll be the one downer. No roof to cover our puny little heads. So we'll be getting pished on. Actually, nah, we're getting beat 2-0. I've decided. That's just done it for me. It's just got that negative aura now. It's going to be pissing down. It's going to be a miserable night. And we'll get beat.
Surely we won't get beat, Gordon. We won't get beat, will we, Gordon?
We won't.
No?
Touch.
Nah, I don't think so. I can't see it. I think, like I say, the previous two games against the Championship teams this season have showed to me that I think there's just too much of a gulf in quality. And look, it might not be, you know, 4-1 like it was against Airdrie or 4-0 like it was against Partick Thistle, but I would expect Hearts to take care of Morton and look, go out there, get an early goal, settle any nerves that might creep in, and just play the game and manage it well. And when your chances come along, take them. I think reading today, Shanklin has 13 goals in 13 games against Green at Morton. So he's, you know, he's not averse to going down to Capello and playing. So, yeah, look, it should be an interesting game. I think Naismith was there watching them during the week. They had been on a really good run of 16 games or something without defeat, but they've now lost their last two. So, yeah, listen, it'll be a good kind of spectacle, I think, a proper old cup tie, but I just think where Hearts are at the moment, I know people point towards, you know, Brora a few years ago, or even Darvel with Aberdeen last season, but I think Morton aren't taking on a team that are kind of in a bad place at the moment or in a poor run of form and they're desperate for a win. It's not. I know they beat Motherwell in the last round, but Motherwell are pish. And again, Motherwell went to Ibrox at the weekend there and got a result, but that was. I just think that for me, Hearts will have too much for Morton, and I think 2-0, to be honest with you. I think we'll go down there, take care of them, and sail into the semi-finals, and hopefully we can get another cup final this season, and we can go that one step further and finally give us something we all deserve and a trophy and a day out.
Well, let's hope so. And do you think that's a similar sort of way of looking at the Ross County game the following week as well?
Yeah, I mean, the Ross County games are... That's kind of a different game, altogether. They've got something to play for in terms of they need results to try and stay up. We've pretty much got third done. You know, our heart's going to be that motivated when they go into that game compared to the Morton game. I don't know. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if we slipped up in that game, actually, the more I think about it. Even if you know, Ross County were to take a draw. Listen, I'm quite happy for us to roll over and give them a win if it reels in Aberdeen. No problem with that whatsoever. Don, good man, good friend of the show, as we all know. I emailed him when he got the Ross County job, just congratulating him, and he was delighted with that, and he emailed us back. He's a good man, Don. And so, look, if we have to roll over to give him 3 points, I've no issue with that. So, you know, a wee 1-0 win for Ross County and it reels in Aberdeen, I don't think that's a bad thing, because it would be great if they were to get relegated. It would really, you know, us winning a trophy, getting group stage football, and them getting relegated, that would be... That'd be sweet, I have to say. That would that make up for a lot of kind of... I'd forgive Hearts, actually. All would be forgiven for the last few years in particular, where they've drove me to the edge, where they've pissed me off. I think if they were able to deliver me that, then, you know, I think bygones can be bygones and we can move on and have a bright future together.
We really didn't think this through. We should have had Don on the show to preview the Ross County game.
We should have, Ross. We should have done. We could have zoomed in again, and he could have gave us a lowdown on how he wants to play the game. Because you never know, he could be a future Hearts manager, Don. And that would be great. Could install us as media team, sack Jamas, get us in. Good man, Don. I wish them a lot of luck. You know, a lot of people don't like Ross County because for the whole Roy McGregor thing and stuff. But I've always had a soft spot for them, to be honest. Great pies, great away day. But I hope they stay up.
What do you think, Dave? Do you think we'll slip up in that game, like Gordon says, or roll over and put Aberdeen in relegation battle?
It's a tough one. As much as I would love to get Aberdeen drawn in a relegation battle, and I do actually think they're in one. Was it 4 points? But I do think we'll win that. We've got a very good record up at County recently, actually. I don't think we've lost there in, well, I don't know, maybe 10 years. I think the relegation season.
We're definitely due one.
You really are doing everything in your power to push this agenda, aren't you?
I'm just looking out for my pal, Don.
I don't think we'll lose. But I could be wrong. Although in saying that, I'm actually unbeaten at New Douglas. Oh, no, not New Douglas, sorry. Was it called the Global Energy? Is that what it's called these days?
Yeah, originally Victoria Park.
I'm forgetting. Why am I saying New Douglas? New Douglas is fucking Hamilton, isn't it? I'm all over the place today. It's a Friday. I've got a good record at Dingwall, but I'm not there. So maybe it'll be the one ground where actually, when I'm not there, it's the opposite of a bogey. And Brycey and all that are going. So yeah, maybe it would be quite enjoyable, actually, if they went up and got beat.
Well, I mean, none of us are beat that year.
You better watch, David, you better watch with comments like that, because there'll soon be a kickback Fred made about us.
Oh, God forbid that happens. God
actively
forbid.
Wanting Hearts to lose. You know, that Hearts review, by the way, disgusting.
It's never like, the thing is, I don't know why they would, because it's the first time we've ever suggested this. It's not in our nature.
Are they even Hearts fans?
Well, that's
no, we're Ross County fans.
Yeah, we are Ross County fans.
So what? Do you know what? I just think we're not the type of podcast that stooks up to these type of people, that's all.
So I'll end the show there. Thank you for joining me. Hopefully we do get
two predictions.
Well, we can do predictions, but I'm gonna get a win in the cup off Gordon, a defeat at Ross County, and probably the same off you, Dave. But right. what are the predictions?
Listen, it would be very funny if we won in the cup and got beat at County, but it'd only be funny if we got beat at County if Aberdeen also lost. If Aberdeen win that week, then it kind of ruins it.
Yeah, waste of time, man.
Yeah, although in saying that, who have they got? Because that could make it quite funny, actually. Let's just see, shall we?
County twice soon. They actually they do play actually. County twice. And I think they've got Dundee as well.
They've got Motherwell away. Tricky fixture.
You could see a lot of flinging arms at that one.
You could, as Theo Beer rattles in his hat trick. But you know, the boys would have played ever so well. Ever so well. Can't ask more.
Magnificent, so they were.
Magnificent. I really, are you with me? So, listen. Are you with me? You know,
ever so well.
I think you've got the best striker in the league, I really do. we're starting a sketch show. I think we'll beat Morton 2-1 and we'll beat Ross County 1-0.
Gordon?
I'm going to go for 2-0 against Morton. It could even be more than that, but I'll just go for a box standard 2-0. I'll take that every day of the week. And I'm going to go for 1-0 Ross County.
All for Don, obviously. All for Don.
All for Don.
He comes off the bench and gets the goal. Even better.
Well, thank you for joining me this week. Yeah, hopefully we do get two wins on the road. Until next time, goodbye.